Afternoon Jams 103, 7 to be the People Station. Today I am so happy to have this guest in the studio. Been hearing a lot of good things about him since he arrived in Muskegon. He is the new Director of Institutional Research and Grants, Dr. Casa, right? I get it right?
Yes.
Dr. Casa is here from Muskegon Community College, and we just sitting here talking, and you have a wealth of knowledge. You come from the country of Ethiopia.
Right.
Born and raised.
Yes.
Some of my favorite food. I got to tell for them, my favorite food, favorite people.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to talk about the college. And then on the second segment, I want to talk about some history, because you were telling me some things about, you know, in regards to the Bible and some history that maybe people don't know. So, Dr. Casa, tell me about your job here and how's that going? Because your job is to find grants now, right?
Right. First, thank you, Paul, for having me here.
You're welcome.
Currently I work for Muskegon Community College as a Director of Institutional Research and Grants. Before coming here, I used to work for City College of Chicago as a grant coordinator. My job at Muskegon Community College is to conduct research at an institutional level to identify the areas that can make the college more effective in achieving its mission. In addition to that, we write grant proposal and find financial resources for the college to carry out different activities of the college to supplement the regular budget that the college has. Mainly, we do reporting. We prepare a report to the state government and to the federal government and other institutions that would like to know about our activities in the college. So basically, our role is conducting research at an institutional level, writing grant proposals and looking for funding, and the other one is reporting. That's basically what we do at institutional research.
That is a hard task.
Oh, yeah, it is.
How long have you been on the job here in Muskegon?
I started in November.
In November?
Right.
Wow, okay, wow. Have you made a pretty cool adjustment here?
Yes, I did, yeah. Environment at Muskegon Community College is very supportive. I got the support of the administration and the faculty, and I have really adjusted well by now, and I'm doing my job.
Now, you come here from Chicago. Now, where in Chicago did you live?
Chicago, in the northeast part of Chicago. I lived there, and I worked for City College of Chicago, for the one of the city colleges called Malcolm X Community College.
Malcolm X Community College.
Right.
Okay. Good, good. I heard of Malcolm X Community College.
Yes.
It's near the hospital somewhere over there. Is it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's located by the medical district area.
Okay. I thought so. Mm-hmm. Thought so. And you did the same kind of job there?
I used to do grant coordination. It was more of grant writing and managing and implementing grant-funded projects.
So when you see a grant application, you're not intimidated?
No. No, not at all.
I mean, these 15, 20 pages, grant applications, that's nothing for you.
Not at all, yeah. That's my job. Yeah, that's my job.
Wow. Well, I commend you, and I know Dr. Dale Nailsbury is very happy to have you there.
Right. He's a very supportive president we have. He's very inclusive, and, he tries to support everybody to do their jobs, and he give us really the type of support that we always need.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, folks, if you are out of the college, you welcome to stop by and say hello to Dr. Casa and welcome him to Muskegon, because this is a heck of a big heck of a scene change, I guess I can say, coming from Ethiopia to Chicago, then from Chicago to Muskegon. And so that is those are like three different entities, and this is probably the smallest city you've probably been in.
Oh, yes. I have also experience, living in Europe
In Europe?
I studied in Germany.
Okay.
So I have the experience, you know, of the German career and technical education system. I studied there how to organize and manage career and technical education programs. So I think that that could be helpful, too, to the job, what I'm doing now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely going to those different countries. Well, Ethiopia, one of the countries that, to my knowledge, there's a lot of rich history that we haven't even in America even had a chance to study in school. And, you know, we don't get it in high school. But it's so much history that we don't know. And I wanted to talk to you about that because this is important to us, especially African-Americans. Ethiopia was one of the countries that was able to fight off the invasion, right?
Right.
If I'm not correct, they were probably the only country to fight off an invasion.
You know, Ethiopia has a very long history, mm-hmm. over 3,000 years of history, both documented, and you can see artifacts and, you know, things like the obelisk of Aksum that is about 3,000 years old.
Mm.
So we have a very long history, and we have ancient civilization in Ethiopia that can inspire the African Americans here in the U.S.
Mm.
And besides that, besides the Aksumite civilization, mm-hmm. which dates back 3,000 years old, we have the Zagwe dynasty, which is around the 12th century, which left the rock-hewn churches of Lalibela. The rock-hewn churches in Lalibela are a monolithic stone-carved mm-hmm. churches.
Okay. Made out of one, that's the one you showed the picture?
Exactly. The churches were carved from a single stone.
Church carved
from
a single stone.
Big building just carved from a single stone. You know, that's called the Saint Lalibela.
Okay.
We have other historical evidence that shows that we had in ancient civilization.
Now, how tall is this church is made out of stone?
Well, the Aksum obelisk, which I say that it's about 3,000 years old,
mm-hmm.
it's about 33 meter. It's about 110 feet.
About 110 feet.
Yeah.
Made out of one piece of stone.
One piece of stone.
And carved.
Carved, yeah.
Right. Now, you mentioned to me that Ethiopia is mentioned in the Bible a bunch of times.
Right.
How many times?
Well, Ethiopia has been mentioned in the Bible about 45 times.
45 times.
45 times, yeah.
Which would make some people think that it was very important to the Bible then.
Right. It's very important. It's historically, it's a very important country. You might have also read about the archaeological discoveries in Ethiopia, that Lucy, which is about 3 million years old, was found in Ethiopia. So the archaeologists are, finding out that the origin of human being is in that area.
Wow. The origin of human being, the first life.
Right. So it's a very important historical site.
Wow. Wow. Some people say that even the Garden of Eve the place of the Garden of Eve is in Ethiopia, and that goes along with what you're saying.
It could be, but there are other evidences, like the wife of Moses, for instance, is from Ethiopia.
Hmm.
You can see that in the Bible. Ethiopia is located on the northern east of Africa,
mm-hmm.
on the Horn of Africa, and the topography is, conducive to produce different cereals and crops, and that country has a lot of resources. River Nile, the Blue Nile.
The Nile, okay.
Yeah, the source of Blue Nile is in Ethiopia. 85% of the Blue Nile water comes from Ethiopia. It's naturally a rich country. There is oil reserve. There is, immense arable land, but the problem is that we didn't have really good leaders to utilize the resources that we have. Mm. I think most people, when we you know, talk about Ethiopia, they may think of, you know, the negative aspect only, but it's really a naturally rich country that can be utilized sometime, you know, to
you see these images on TV.
The people. Yes.
Dr. Casa is here from Muskegon Community College. We see these images on TV, and all we see is the negative images of kids starving.
Right.
Is that an accurate portrayal of Ethiopia?
Well, I'm not denying that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. But it's not because we don't have the resources and we don't have the talent to feed our own people. But the problem is that, you know, we always have dictators in power, and they don't listen to the educated people. They don't listen to, you know, the advisors, mm-hmm. and they ignore and do things only the way they like it. So they didn't utilize the resources we have, and they are not prepared to, you know, elevate when such a natural disaster happens.
Dr. Casas here, he's Director of Institutional Research and Grants at Muskegon Community College. He hails from the country of Ethiopia. And I wanted him to share. I wanted to connect people. I wanted to share the greatness of Ethiopia and a rich history. So we originally was going to talk about education, but I wanted to get his knowledge. He was born and raised in Ethiopia. Why do you think it's important for people to visit Ethiopia?
Well, to know the facts. You know, many people are misinformed by the media. The media is selective, as I say, that it picks only the negative stuff and portray that country as, you know, something that cannot be used for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality that that country has inspiring history, wonderful people, very, you know, friendly people, wonderful food. You know that
yes.
You might have visited Ethiopian restaurants in some of the cities in the U.S.
Right.
And there are a lot of educated people abroad too. You know, they are helping, you know, different countries. So I think it's good to know the reality.
Right.
And to see the potential of that country. Besides that, especially for African American. We have inspiring history. If you read about the Battle of Adwa,
mm-hmm.
that's the battle between Ethiopia and Italy in 1896, you can learn a lot that the Ethiopians, you know, defeated the invader Italy and how they sacrificed their life to defend their country and to keep that country united. So, I think there are a lot of things that we can learn from a country like Ethiopia if you visit or if you read the history of that country.
If you're African-American and you touch down in a country like Ethiopia, what do you think it would do to African-American and their land in Ethiopia?
Well, one thing we all can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
We all can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not born poor.
Right.
We have the capability, you know, we have the potential to achieve things like other people do. So I think that that's what the history of Ethiopia can tell us. That country can defend itself. That country had the civilization. We had one of the oldest alphabets in the world. You know, we've been always related with the history of the major religions in the world, both Christianity and Islam, mm-hmm. and Judaism. Mm-hmm. And we can tell also that the Ark of Covenant is in Ethiopia.
Right. Wow.
So we have rich history that
a lot of history.
Inspired. Yeah.
So if you read in the Bible, that's one, if you're going to go to Jerusalem, you definitely need to go to Ethiopia then.
Oh, yes. By the way, one of the historical places I mentioned, the Lalibela
mm-hmm.
churches. King Lalibela, the then king, his name was King Lalibela.
Mm-hmm.
He built those churches because many people were not able to go to Jerusalem.
Okay.
So he built the replica of Jerusalem at Lalibela.
Okay, in Ethiopia.
Yeah. So
it looks like Jerusalem.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what he tried to do. because at that time it was difficult for people to travel to Jerusalem.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk to Dr. Kasa a little bit more about Ethiopia. I want to talk about the Bible when we come back, because there's some things that you can share with us, because, you know, about the Bible, there's the Ethiopian Bible, but it has a little bit more added to it. And I'm going to ask you about that. We talk about that when you come back. This man has a lot of knowledge. How many different languages do you speak? And I didn't prep you for this.
Well, I speak three languages.
You speak three languages?
Yeah. No. My mother tongue, Amharic, mm-hmm. English, and I speak German, too.
You speak German, too?
Yeah, I speak German.
Wow. Wow. Is it important for kids to learn second languages?
Oh, yes. It's very helpful, you know, to know other people's culture. And, you know, to be able to communicate with, you know, different people from different parts of the world, especially in this time of globalized economy, it's always good to know additional language and to be able to function in other parts of the world.
Right. So you can go to German right now and you blend right in.
Right. I won't have any problem.
Be right back. It's Afternoon Jams 103.7 and B. Get some knowledge here. Dr. Kasa's here. From Muskegon Community College. Here's an African, Sade. She's from Nigeria, though. Be right back after the jams.
It's the Afternoon Jam with PA. Hit them up at 231-722-8338 or send an email to PA@1037thebeat.com.
Afternoon Jams, 103.7 The People's Station. Got a couple announcements for you tomorrow, the 20th. Anniversary celebration is going on in Hackley Community Care. Celebrating 20 years in the community. Got a community picnic tomorrow, Thursday, 11 a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. right at the Hackley Community Care Center and out there in the parking lot. So they got a face painting, games, haircuts, healthy ideas. They got vendor prize and food. All that's going on tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m., a 20-year anniversary. For Hackley Community Care. Want to say happy birthday going out to Solo, our very own Solo, celebrating a birthday today. You the star today, Solo. Also, Anthony Brown celebrating a birthday today, along with Megan Marie Brooks. Candy Jones, also known as Turk, is celebrating a birthday today. And Curtis Reese Robinson is celebrating a birthday today on this 8th of August. Dr. Kasa is here from Muskegon Community College. He is the Director of Institutional Research and Grants. We just talking about Ethiopia and getting a lot of... If you want to know some history, study Ethiopia. There's a lot of history there.
Yes.
For African Americans. So, that's America and the world, period, right?
Right.
Right. Tell me about this Bible now. You guys got a Bible there. It's similar to the Bible we have here, but it has more books.
Right. The Ethiopian Bible, it has 81 books.
81 books.
81 books.
Wow.
That means that there are a number of additional books compared with the other Bibles that we have in other churches.
Why is it different? Do you know?
Well, that's the Ethiopian Orthodox Church Bible. We believe that the books of the Bible are not only 64 books that we have with the other churches. We have additional books, and some people try to contest that, saying that, well, it may not be a real Bible, but we have evidence for that. For those of you who have read about the Dead Sea Scroll, mm-hmm. One of the books in the Dead Sea Scroll is the Book of Enoch.
Okay.
The Book of Enoch is not found in any of the Bibles other than the Ethiopian Orthodox Church Bible.
Hmm.
The Ethiopian Orthodox Church Bible has the Book of Enoch.
Is that O-N-A-K?
Enoch. E-N-O-C-H, Enoch.
Oh, I was way off.
Yeah.
And that's and we get the Dead Sea Scroll.
Yeah, they can cross-check with the, you know, when they find the Dead Sea Scroll, they did cross-check with the Ethiopian Bible. That's only where they found the Dead Sea Scroll copy. I mean, the copy of the Enoch book.
Anything different? What will we get from those Bibles, for those books, the Ethiopian Bible? Is anything in there that would stand out to us? Are we missing a lot? Maybe I should put it like, are we missing a lot when we don't read those books?
Well, you know, for those audiences who are interested in reading Bible, I think they can find the English version of the Ethiopian Bible and read to see, you know, things that are added, things that are additional to the other Bibles. What I would say that when they cross-check between these additional books and the other 64 books of the Bible, they can, make sure that these books are genuinely Bible parts, and they can cross-reference with the other parts of the Bible.
Wow. Okay. There you go. Dr. Casa is here. He's a director of institution research and grants. Just picking his brain about Ethiopia. It's a lot of history there. Like I say, that's one of the countries that you can just keep digging. It's like Ethiopia and South Africa and Egypt. It's like they saved a lot of stuff there.
Right.
You can find a lot of, I know because of the invasions, a lot of history was destroyed in some countries.
Well,
Ethiopia preserved theirs.
It is true that, you know, the history of Ethiopia dates back 3,000 years. Even before that, you can see the prehistory Ethiopia. You might find, you know, some researches on the archaeological findings in Ethiopia about you. I mentioned Lucy, for instance. It's 3.2 million years old. A skeleton found in Ethiopia.
How many years?
3.2 million.
Years old.
Yeah. Lucy.
Lucy.
Yeah.
Is that the person they believe is like the first person to ever exist?
Right. That's the first, the ancient person-like skeleton found in Ethiopia.
Wow. 3.5 million.
3.2 million.
3.2 million. Yeah. 3.2 million.
Right.
Any websites or any nonprofit that you think people here, if they want to help out, that they want to find out more information about connecting with Ethiopia, any suggestions?
Well, there are Ethiopian community associations in different parts of the United States. For instance, in Chicago, there is Ethiopian Community Association of Chicago. It's a well-established organization that has a museum. If for those people who would like to see the artifacts from Ethiopia, you know, like musical instruments, traditional musical instruments, and the other household utensils that the Ethiopians used in the older times, they can visit that museum. Mm. It's in Chicago.
You showed me a picture of an old picture of an African-American, Ethiopian. They had on a scuff cap.
The durag.
Durag.
Oh, yes.
How old was that picture?
Well, the durag, the picture I showed you is King Menelik. King Menelik was the king of Ethiopia when Ethiopia fought Italy. That's end of 1890. Yeah, 1890.
So this African had on a durag in 1890. If you look at the picture, though, he looked like some of us.
Right. It's not only the durag. During that time, the Ethiopian heroes used to wear earrings.
Okay.
But it's only the heroes who can do that.
So they wore earrings.
Yeah, the mark
only
of the heroes.
Only heroes.
Right.
So when you put that ring on, it meant something.
Yeah, it meant something, that you defended your country.
Did it matter what ear the earring?
No, it doesn't. But that's a mark of the heroes during those times.
Wow. Anything else you want to share before you go, Dr. Casa?
I don't know how many people know about the Battle of Adwa.
Mm-hmm.
The Battle of Adwa is when Italy invaded Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first victory of black man on European.
On oppression.
Right.
Okay. The invasion of Italy was the first victory of right. Africans fighting off oppression.
Yeah, that's in 1896.
1896.
In 1896, yeah.
Up until that time, they invade, they won, they conquered.
Right. But that time, Italy tried to conquer Ethiopia. The Ethiopian king, King Menelik, he's called King Menelik II, called the people, and they stand together against the Italian invasion. They used all the armament they have traditional armaments, mm-hmm. while the Europeans used, you know, modern armaments, but the Ethiopians won.
Wow. So even though they had all the weapons.
Right.
Italy had the weapons.
Exactly.
Had the money.
Yeah.
Ethiopian pulled it off.
Right.
African Americans at that time was trying to go to Ethiopia. And I remember reading that in history, that African Americans wanted to leave America and go and help Ethiopia out. America said they couldn't, but they allowed the Italians from America to go and help out Italy.
Right. That time, you know, very many African Americans was organizing protests, peaceful protests in the United States, and, you know, saying that why an European country invade Ethiopia, and they were trying to send out their support to Ethiopians.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Kasa. Anything else you want to share before we go?
You're welcome. I think we have said a lot about the Ethiopian history, and I would really appreciate that you welcomed me here at your studio, and thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. It's my honor, definitely my honor. The food before we go, it tastes so good. It's addictive.
Oh, yes. The Ethiopian food is mostly vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
We know we have a long fasting season in Ethiopia.
Okay. How long you fast?
Well, we have 150 days of fasting.
150 days?
No, 50.
50.
50 days,
mm-hmm.
and the longest one. And there is another one, 2 weeks. And there are a number of them. So Ethiopians, during the fasting season, they don't eat animal products. Dairy products. They don't eat dairy products, so they eat vegetarian.
That's probably why I don't see no fat Ethiopians.
Oh.
They are very well taken.
Probably, yeah. Yes.
And so during that time, eat a lot of vegetarians, don't eat no meat.
During the fasting season, yes.
Fasting season. Yeah. There you go. A little history. If they want to get some Ethiopian food, where do you suggest they go to? Do they go to Chicago? Did you go to Grand Rapids? Which one do you suggest?
Well, this time the Ethiopian food is becoming very common in the United States. Mm-hmm. When you go to big cities, you find Ethiopian restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Chicago area,
right.
There are a number of them. So they can check out.
No suggestions? No favorite?
Well, I suggest the Ethiopian Diamond in Chicago.
Okay, Ethiopian Diamond.
It's one of the biggest, and one of, you know, it's really, they serve very good food, authentic food.
All right. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
We'll be keeping in contact. And welcome to Muskegon.
Thank you.
Welcome to Muskegon.
Thank you.
All right.
It's the Afternoon Jam with PA. Hit them up at 231-722-8338 or send an email to PA@1037thebeat.com.